Got a couple of readings from Exodus this morning. I'm doing the first one. Exodus chapter 3, first 14 verses. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.
Second reading from Exodus is from chapter 4, verses 1 to 17. Moses answered, What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, The Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, What is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, Throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took the hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe in the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, Put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out again, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, They did not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second sign. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words into his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you. And as it will be as if you, he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it. Being asked by God to share our faith is not easy. It's a difficult thing to do sometimes, especially with our family, work colleagues, friends. It's often that they're not the easiest people to share Jesus with because they know our weaknesses and our faults. However, we can often use this as an excuse for not doing something for God. I'm not the best person for this job that you have given me, God. And like Moses, we say, send someone else. Perhaps it's a job in the church, helping someone in need, a call to change direction in life, a call to share your faith. Moses was one of the greatest leaders this world has ever seen. Yet at the beginning of his career and his calling, we see that he said, not me, send someone else. And there's several excuses that he uses, and the first one is, who am I? Compare Moses to the Moses that was, highly educated, motivated and gifted when he was younger. But anger drove him. The result was that he failed and he was banished into the desert for 40 years. He'd become a man obsessed with his own failure. And we can do that too if we're not careful. Be obsessed with our own failure, with our own weaknesses. To say to God, God, I'm a failure, so send someone else. God, I'm a failure. I can't possibly do this. God tells Moses that he tells us in that situation, take your eyes off yourself and look at me. And what does God say? He says, I will be with you. Every time we say, Lord, send someone else, he says, I will be with you. There can't be very many of us this morning who haven't felt that way in one time or another, when we felt that we should pass the buck to somebody else or let somebody else do the job. And God says, I will be with you. God calls us to do something for him, and we will not even entertain the idea because we're thinking, who am I? I'm useless. I'm hopeless. I've got no degree in theology. I'm not gifted. I've failed before. I'm of no use. The problem can come as well from those who think that they are more than capable. The Old Testament uses a picture of us being like clay in the potter's hands. Clay must be pliable and moist, not dry and brittle. Any of you who have watched the Great British Throwdown will know that the clay modelling is not the easiest of things to do. But if the clay gets dry and brittle, it's impossible to use. I believe that God calls us to be soft and pliable in his hands, not sharp and brittle. A willingness to allow God to shape us. God's answer to the excuse of, I am no use, is, I am with you. I am the potter shaping your life. We need to stop thinking about who we are and remember who God is. Then we have the second excuse, which is, who is sending me? God has a name, Yahweh. This question may seem like a diversion, an excuse, but I believe that Moses is being genuine here. Who shall I say is sending me? Up until this point, God had not revealed his name to creation. Names are very important in the Bible. They have more importance than they do in our society today. In Old Testament times, names represented all the person was. It was the weight of their being. And so the name Yahweh is the weight of God upon him. And what I mean by that is that everything that God is encapsulated in his name. Now, if I take my name, Paul, it means small in the Old, in the New Testament. Misnomer, I think, but there we go. But if somebody says Paul Greenin, then they're encapsulating all that I am, everything that I am, who I am. And the same way that they took God's name, Yahweh, it encapsulates all that he is. That's why biblical names are often altered, because sometimes they were inaccurate. Abram becomes Abraham. Sarai becomes Sarah. Jacob becomes Israel. And here God is being gracious to Moses. Here is my name, Moses. Tell them who has sent you. You have nothing to fear because I have given you my name. We go in God's name. We go with the weight of God behind us. There's a hymn that we sing, in thy name we go. And it's very important that we remember that when we go into the world, we go with God's name. Now, I remember the first time I got a credit card when I was younger. I had the power to buy. Dangerous. The name of Barclaycard was behind me. I could go into a shop, I could hand over the Barclaycard, and I could buy whatever I wanted to. This name, though, name Yahweh, is obscure. I am who I am. Yahweh is what that comes from. Jehovah, if you like. I am who I am. Expresses the weight of God. I am always dependable. I am always faithful. I am the true personality. Great philosophical statement is, I think, therefore I am. It's all about being, having identity, having existence. 4,000 years earlier, God said you and I have value because God is I am. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, you have value because I am. Remember what Jesus said. That I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the light. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. All these times, Jesus was saying, this is me. This is my name. Then the third excuse that Moses gives is that they won't believe me. They won't believe me. God already told Moses that the people would not believe him. This is the beginning of desperation for Moses. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody and realized suddenly that you're on the wrong side and you're actually wrong? You have two options. You go to the death, or you use more and more ridiculous evidence. Moses begins to realize he's losing an argument and starts to look for reasons. God reassures him by giving him miracles. First, he takes what's in Moses' hands and uses it to perform a miracle. Then his hand becomes leprous and is cured. There's nothing special about the rod, the staff. It wasn't magical. It was simply given to God's use. God wants us to surrender our possessions to him so he can use them for his glory. The witness of what we have for God is so very, very powerful. I've known wealthy Christians who give most of their income away, and relatively poor Christians who will give nothing of their money away to God because they need every penny. Remember Jesus, when he was in the temple, blessed that woman that gave just a couple of pennies because it was given out of her poverty rather than out of her wealth. Conversely, the majority give from their modest incomes. It's not how much we give, it's what we use it for. The world won't be won over purely by miracles. They weren't in Jesus' time, and they are won by changed lives and lifestyles. I've used this quote before from Robert Murray McShane, who was a preacher many, many years ago. He said, "A Christian is someone who makes it easy to believe in God." I've got that written on my notice board at home, and it reminds me again and again, a Christian is someone who makes it easy to believe in God. Their God must be real, people will say, because they live like he is. And then the fourth answer he gives is, "I am not gifted. Einstein once said, "I am neither especially clever nor especially gifted. I'm only very, very curious." So many are not serving God in the fullness they should because they say, "I'm not gifted." And God said, "I am." Moses says, "I am not. I can't share my faith because I don't know what to say." Psalm 81, verse 10. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it." Now that's not the dentist's proverb. It's a reminder that when we speak, God will give us the words to speak. And Luke 12, Jesus says this, "When you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." We have to remember that in Christianity, it's about availability as well as ability. God needs clean, willing vessels. The eventual cry from Moses is, "Send someone else. Send someone else." And there can be very few of us again this morning who have not thought and prayed that. "Lord, send someone else. Let somebody else do that job. I can't do that. I will not do that. It's someone else's job. Send someone else." Unfortunately for Moses, God answered his prayer and said, "Yes, okay, and I'll give you Aaron." Aaron once led the people into idolatry, and then later was part of a short-lived rebellion against Moses. It's tragic that Moses was willing to trust a weak man of flesh rather than have confidence in God to do the job through him. And then just a reminder again, "I am with you." That's the answer to all of our shyness and our inability to follow God, to do what he calls us to do, is to remember, "I am with you." Philippians 4 verse 13 says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." These words came from Paul. And Paul, like Moses, was a well-educated man. And also like Moses, was a murderer. A man aware of his own weaknesses like Moses. Yet he learned that he can do all things because God has given him the things that we need. God has given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. He's given us his discipline. He's given us his leading. He's given us his presence. He's given us his church. Romans 8:31, I'll leave you with this verse. "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Let's pray. Father, I know when it comes to my own family, I find it difficult to share faith with them. I find it difficult because they know me so well and have known me in the past and what I've been like in the past. And you, maybe like me, feel that you want to say, "Send someone else." My prayer is that we will be the ones who say, "Lord, here am I, send me," as in the words of Isaiah. "Here am I, Lord, send me." Lord, hear us in this, we pray. Amen.